How much would you have to pay for a shirt?
Well, it depended. They went up later on in years after the wool went up, you know. Mm-hmm. But on the beginning, we used to get them for $5. Mm-hmm. A wool shirt, you know. The men used to wear for hunting and sporting and things like that. And then, of course, they had the heavy pants.
Yeah. And they also made coats.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How much was it? You know, Mackinac jackets, like.
Yeah.
I bought one for somebody there one time, and I got it for, in the later years before they closed, I got it for $12. Hmm. They'd been selling something down there a year or so ago, too, that they had left in the shop, in the, you know, storeroom.
Where was the storeroom for finished clothing?
Well, it was in that, off of the office, in back from the office. See, the office is in the front there.
The front of the mill or the front of the store, of the shop?
Of the shop. Of course, the shop, where they sew, was upstairs. But this was where they kept the shirts and everything after they were finished. And it was right off from the office. You can see the office right there in the front, you know. And there's a pair of stairs goes up into the front of the office. And then there's some stairs that went into the room where they store the stuff. And that's where they used to bring it over, put it in from that door, or take it out from that door, and then they'd bring it from, they had another door in the back, they'd bring it from the mill over that way. Yeah, they had three doors to go into, one for the office and the other two for the storeroom in the shop, under the shop.
Was there an office in the mill?
No. Well, they did have one downstairs, too. They had an office for the superintendent down there. Yeah.
Who was the superintendent?
Who was he anyway? Well, I think in later years, Mr. Cantwell used that for himself, Miles, you know, before he died. Yeah. Then after that, I don't know. I guess it was just used by the men when they'd come in. But Mr. Cantwell kept his, you know, papers and books and things in there, and they could lock it up. It was just as you went in the door, you turned to the left, which was right around the corner.
When Miles Cantwell died, did the employees all go to the funeral as they did to Dallas?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
What year did he die?
Well, no, I can't tell you that.
But you were working there.
Yeah. But it was... Oh, quite a little time before the mill closed. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Was his funeral held at the house?
Yeah, yeah. Well, of course, they took him to the funeral parlors. Uh-huh. And let me see, I think that's where the funeral was. Instead of at the house, I think it was at the funeral parlor. Uh-huh. Yeah. Of course, now maybe I'm mistaken again. It was at the church. They belong to the congregational church.
And all the employees went?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the mill was closed. Yeah. They were awful good men, both of them. And then his son, of course, I don't know where he is now, probably Messina. He took over to do the work. But the mill went up, and I mean, of course, I guess the people didn't keep on buying that heavy stuff. You know, they don't today. It ain't stuff like they made there. They had a woolen mill over in Winooski, Vermont, and I think that's still there. Whether they make that great heavy stuff or not, I don't know. But we had some weavers come over from there and worked here, and then they went back over there.
Did they come over here when it was, when their mill had closed temporarily?
Well, they just, belonged here in Malone, I guess, you know. And they worked here. Then they went back over there. I suppose they just wanted to try it out for a while.
Yeah. How many of them came over?
Well, there wasn't very many, one or two at a time, you know.
Mm-hmm. Were they better at weaving than
people? Well, they thought they were. But, you know, they were just common weavers, too. You can't make any difference in what the... Of course, you got to watch it. But I mean, you can't make it any different than what the yarn you got, and the way the loom goes.
Mm-hmm. Are they liked by the people they work with here in the law?
Oh yes, yeah. I think they were brothers to some of the fellas that was there, you know. And they'd say they were going back to Vermont. So they'd get back there. And I think they got a good woolen mill there, though.
What were you paid in the last year as you worked for Ballard?
Well, it went up to $1.25 an hour there just before the mill closed, and that was the highest.
You worked there in 56?
Yeah. Oh yeah, I was there. I was there when the Social Security started, and I was there, you know, up until the end.
What were you getting paid in 56? 1956.
Whatever we'd earn on the loom, you know, and then after the president started raising the wages and cutting down the hours, well, of course we got up to $12 a week. And when I got through, they just started that $1.25 an hour. And of course, they had to pay that, whether they earned it or not. And I suppose that was one thing run the business down. You know, if you have to pay a lot of help, $1.25, and they don't earn it, you know, it counts out. That's the way what happened to the Woolworths. See, Ameses hurt their business, and that's the way it goes.
So you were earning $1.25 an hour when you left the Ballard mill.
Yeah, when it got closed up. Mm-hmm.
And you were working how many hours a day?
Well, from 7 to 5. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. With an hour off for lunch that wasn't paid.
Oh, yeah, at noon, yeah.
And that one, you weren't paid for that?
No, no, that was our time.
How long had you been earning $1.25 before you left?
Well, I don't think I was there much over 6 months, because I broke that finger, see, and they put me downstairs to burrow, and they didn't have me come home and get my sort of unemployment or, you know, whatever they pay. So, of course, the thing that they had bandaged it with kept coming off when I was using that burler, because I'd use it with this hand and I'd have to have that finger there so it knit back crooked. I never got anything out of it. Then shortly after that, I was laid off for a while, and then I started getting the unemployment. See? I couldn't get it while I had that finger, but there is an insurance that you're supposed to get when you get hurt, but I never got it. And so then when they closed down, I didn't even know enough to go and draw my unemployment all summer, and the rest of the people did. I said I wasn't going to go into it because I thought it was wrong, so I didn't get it. Well, I started off when I got my Social Security with $60 a month, and now I'm up to $96.20. The last raise they give us brought it up 15%, you know. I was getting 83. It's kept coming up, you know. Every time they'd give a little raise, it kept coming up. Mm-hmm. And now I'm up to 96.
What went on in the mill during the Second World War?
Oh, they had cloth to weave for the Army. All, you know, the kind that they made uniforms for the men, that color.
Khaki.
Yeah.
Was it wool?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then they had another order for lining for automobiles, you know, when they put that kind of, I guess I told you that just before. Yeah, they had an order for that lining for cars. I think it was from the Ford company.
Was that hard to make?
No, it was just the same. All the weaving was the same after they got it onto the loom. You know, weavers, that's all they had to do was run their loom. Yeah.
Did anyone ever come there and try and sell war bonds?
No.
Make a speech?
No. Nobody ever come in to offer to sell anything. Unless some of the girls in there would have, you know, like a club or something that they were selling stuff for, they'd ask you to buy something to help them out. Mm-hmm. But nobody ever come in there with anything extra.
Did any of the workers die while you were there? In the years you were there?
Well, Emma LaBarge's mother and father died, and then she had a brother, I don't know, he killed himself or something down at Burke or somewhere. And Mr. Hankey, of course, died. And no, I don't think there was any of the help.
Did they always collect for flowers?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we always gave a dollar. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And of course, like at Christmas time, we'd always put in a donation to give the boss a gift. Have you seen Morris Brown?
Not yet.
Well, don't say I mentioned it. You know.
What kind of gifts would they get for the boss?
Well, if, you know, if they knew of something that would be good for him. Now, we were well acquainted with his wife, Mrs. Hankey, there, you know. She's even nice today. Sometimes she'll call me up and talk to me. And if we knew of something that we thought he could use, if not, well, they put the money in a Christmas card and let him get what he wanted with it. Yeah.
The bosses never gave you anything, though?
No. No, we didn't expect that, you know. They were over us, and they were good to us, and, yeah. So we didn't expect anything. But that was just a little appreciation of what they had done for us during the year.
Did any of the workers ever fight with the boss?
Well, not that I know of. You know, they might have had their little chewing spells over doing something, but I never saw them really have trouble. No, I never saw that, either place. No. You know, the people didn't used to be like they are today. Now it's all fun. Mm-hmm.
Did the women wear long dresses in the mill?
Yeah, just a style. Mm-hmm. Whatever the style was, they dressed. And we used to wear burlap aprons, you know. You know what overalls are made of? Well, we used to have, they used to sell them. And we used to have aprons that go around us here and come up over our shoulders. So we'd tie them in the back. And of course, they saved your dress, but this where you'd rub against the cloth and the loom when you were putting in a thread or something, you'd wear it for a hole across the front.
With the burlap.
Yeah, and the burlap apron. But that saved your dresses, you know.
How much did they cost, this apron?
Oh, I guess about that time they were 50, 75 cents.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did you wear a burlap apron until you left the mill?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. We always had them. Saved our clothes, you know.
What color were they?
Oh, blue, burlap. We'd get. That's what we always got. They were already made and everything, you know. Mm-hmm. So we'd get them.
Did you have any other special clothes to wear? Gloves, anything like that?
No. We just used our bare fingers.
Was it hard on your hands to do the work?
No. Unless you'd pull too often on the loom and kind of hurt your palm of your hand, but there was nothing to hurt you. I got hit with a shuttle one time, and that's what hurt. You know, they had a iron point on the end of the shuttle, both ends, and boy, when you get hit with that, that's what broke my finger. And it wasn't from my loom, it was from my neighbor, Irene Palmer. She's the one that was killed last Christmas, you know. And Christmas Eve, she was going to church. And the shuttle flew from her loom, and I was putting my hand down in my bobbin can. And boy, that shuttle come down there and it hit me right in the hand. That's what broke my finger. So Cantwell's boy was the one running it then, and he took me up to the doctor and they said it. You know, he even took me to the hospital and they took x-ray, you know, and it was broke. So then the doctor said it, but they didn't tell me to stay home, so that's why it's crooked. I worked with it. Didn't knit right.
Did you do any more work that same day?
Yeah. I went by. Something again.
Did they put you on the whirling that same day?
Well, it was in the afternoon, so I don't think I'd done much. But I did go on Burlin the next day. He told me to come back the next day and burl. I suppose if it had been one of the head men, they wouldn't have done that. But you know, it was the boy. And that's the way he was running it. I don't think they were supposed to make me work after I got hurt. But it was the son was running it then.
Were any of the employees fired while you were
working? No, not that I know of. No, no. They were all good and got along good together.
Did many of them, was there a big turnover? Did you have, you know, some leaving and some coming in to work most
no.
of the time?
No, no. The ones that was there, they stuck good. You know, they were all older help, you know, and they worked together and got along good. Yeah. There wasn't much quitting and going back.
Was it an enjoyable place to work?
Yeah, there was never any trouble with any of them. Mm-hmm. We were all good friends and everybody else. Yeah.
Did you have to teach people how to run the...
We would learn different ones. Yeah, yeah.
How would you go about teaching them?
Well, we'd show them how to start the loom, show them how to put in threads, and at the time that we were filling the shuttles with our own bobbins, we'd show them how to put the bobbin in the shuttle and put the shuttle back in and start it up. And, we taught them all that was to know about running the loom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How long did it take them to learn?
Well, they'd have a week on with the... somebody, you know, and then after that, if they had learned, you know, enough to start and stop the loom and put in the threads if they broke and things like that, well, then they could go on a loom and the loom fixer would watch them and help them out too, you know.
Mm-hmm. So the loom fixer watched them as well as the person that was teaching?
Yeah. He'd help them out too, yeah.
But the regular weavers... or were the teachers?
Yeah, you'd learn them to weave. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we used to teach different ones.
Did they seem to catch on fast?
Well, some of them would. You know, if they were ambitious and anxious to learn, just like everything else, it wouldn't take them long. Mm-hmm. But if they didn't pay attention to everything, and sometimes they could start up the loom. The shuttles had come together, see? If you didn't have them just right in the boxes, they'd come together and you'd have a great big smash-up of your yarn in the back, in the middle of the loom. And that would be a job to get the right colors, you know, in back in where they belong.
Mm-hmm. How many shuttles were there, just two?
Well, it depended. Sometimes there were four. It depended the colors, you know.
All on the colors, yes.
Yeah. Sometimes there were four. There was four boxes with shuttles in, and they would come up and down their cell. Mm-hmm.
How did the plant change from the time you entered until the time you left?
There wasn't much difference, only changing the looms to run two, you know, to run two looms. And then the looms were turned around so that they were the cloth on each side, and all you had to do was turn around and look at each loom to see if a thread was broke. Yeah, they were right next to you.
Did the lighting change from the time you went in to
no,
the time you left?
No.
Did they ever have fluorescent lights?
No. We had the electric lights.
Uh-huh. Did the appearance of the inside of the mill change?
No. I think one time they cleaned it while I was there. You know, painted and everything like that. Long towards the middle of the time that I worked there. Mm. Of course, they used to clean the floors and like that, but what I mean is to paint it and give it a good cleaning. Of course, that wool, you know, would fly all over and stick on the walls and around. Of course, they'd brush that down, keep it clean.
Were the windows dirty, or could you see out of them easily?
Oh, we could see good through them. The men would wash them. And sometimes if we had a window at our loom, we'd wash that ourselves.
Were there janitors there?
Oh yes, night watchmen and everything. Yeah.
Who were the janitors?
Janitor, let me see. I guess I can't tell you their name. But I know they had day one and night one, you know. They had a watchman there that'd stay all night.
Did your wages increase during the Second World War?
No, not until after President Roosevelt started changing the hours. See? We got $9 a week.
Did you have to work harder during the Second World War?
No, we worked just the same. Mm-hmm. All you could do was run your loom, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
How did that park outside change from the time you came until the time you left?
Well, they always kept it nice. One time we had a festival, some kind of a festival there, and boy, it was beautiful. Yeah, everybody had something different on it, and I guess it lasted the whole week. That was an awful pretty place, and you know, they had that fountain. I don't know if it's there today or not. That fountain outside the office, this way from there, and the water would be spraying all up in the air. They had flowers and flower beds, and it was well taken care of. The lawn was mowed all the time, and you know, they had a man for that.
Were those things there full time you were at the mill?
Oh yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. They kept it nice.
Did you ever eat out there in the summertime?
Yeah, we used to take our lunch out, and then a lot of times we'd go home with Emma LaBarge. She drove her car, and she'd take the girls that had their lunch there. She'd take them down to her house, and we'd eat out on her lawn. She had a nice place down there, and we'd eat down on her lawn, and then we'd come back to work. Yeah.
Who was the oldest person there, the oldest employee?
You mean of the weavers?
Yeah.
Well, I guess we were all about the same. I think there wasn't much difference. See, Mrs. St. Mary there, and me, and, well, I guess we were pretty near all about the same age. There was no young kids, because they, you know, they couldn't go to work till they were 17 or 18 in that kind of a place.
Were most of the employees middle-aged women or young girls, about 20?
Well, some of them would come in to learn, but they didn't, you know, it was too hard. And they wouldn't stay. They looked for something else. But most of them, you know, they worked their way up. A lot of them were married women, of course, you know. Now there was, let me see. Well, I'll tell you another man that worked there. He lives up here on Branch Street. No, I can't think of it.
They didn't pay you anything extra for having worked there a long time, did they?
Oh, no. 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 But when the mill was closed, we got our unemployment down here. And, well, that wasn't very high, but I guess we'd get around $16 a week. It was better than nothing while the mill was closed.
How many weeks during the year would it be closed for lack of work?
Well, sometimes they used to close pretty near all winter, and sometimes they closed in the summer. And it depended, you know, how the business was, how long they'd be closed. Mm-hmm. And we got our unemployment. Well, then after I started getting my Social Security in 56, you were entitled to earn $1,200 a year. Well, if I'd earn up to over that during the time I worked, I'd turn in my checks to the Social Security until it was made up, see? And usually it would be until I went back to work. When I went back to work, I'd get my check back. But I was still getting the unemployment. So that made up for it. Because I started off with $60 a month. Social Security.
When did you start getting unemployment? When the mill was closed?
For 2 weeks we had to wait.
What year of your employment at Ballard's? Towards the end or at the beginning?
Oh no, not at the beginning. Mm-hmm. Well, no. I guess they were pretty busy up until probably around 36 or something like that. I think they were pretty busy all the time up until that. You know, people used to use more heavy clothes. And then they got where it was going down, and it would be the people going up to the hunting or something like that would want heavy clothes. See?
Mm-hmm. Were you ever laid off during the Second World War? Were there any layoffs at that time?
Well, after we got caught up with that, with their cloth, yeah.
But you had no unemployment compensation during the first years you worked there?
No. We weren't laid off much anyway, you know. And I don't think when I worked down here either they had that.
Were you often laid off without compensation later on?
No. No. Not too much.
What did you do when you were laid off and there wasn't any compensation?
Well, I went out and done different things. Now, all one summer I worked for Mrs. Simons and Mrs. Mayer up there, you know, on the on Jane Street. Mm-hmm. And that's how I happened to go to work for Mrs. Lawrence, see. The work was slack at the mill, and she had had a bad spell. I know it was a heart spell or what, but anyway, Mrs. Ames said that she would like to have somebody to stay with her for a week. Well, I went over there, and I stayed with her for a week, and they wanted me to stay, so I was there 2 years before I went back to the mill. Yeah.
The mill was, you were laid off 2 years at the mill?
I wasn't laid off. I asked off for that, mm-hmm. You know, and Mr. Hankey kept my loom, and when the business got good, I went back. Well, one winter, Florence decided after her father died she wanted to go to Florida for the winter. And so I got off for the winter. We were gone 6 months. We went in, we had a big snowstorm and we were all ready to go. And so had to wait a week till the snow, you know, got away from here. And we rented the house for 6 months and we went, I think it was the 1st of October. And Florence drove, and we stayed overnight in motels all the way down. We were a week on the road. And they let me off for all winter. When I come back, I got my job. Yeah. We left there on Good Friday, and we got home. We stayed a week down to my cousins in Massachusetts before we come home, Connecticut. And I had my job when I came back.
Had someone been filling in your place while you were away?
Yeah, they'd run the loom, yeah, but they didn't take anybody on regular, but if somebody got their warp out and had to wait for one, they'd go on the loom and run it, see? They weren't so rushed, they couldn't get along.
It took a little time before a warp was ready?
Well, they usually had them ready, uh-huh. Yeah. They usually had some laying on the floor. They're already putting the loom. Yeah.
There was a different warp for pants and a different warp for shirts.
It depended on, yeah.
Yeah.
The weight of them. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the patterns, you know, they'd have, the shuttles would have different colors. And when it come to that, the chain was made, see? The chain was made to go on there. And that's what directed the boxes, and the width of the pattern had a big chain. And when that would go around, see, the end of that pattern come on that chain, well then that, it would turn to another one. The chain would go around and bring that to the next pattern. It kept going like that. If you had three or four colors, well, it worked them up and down, went back to the other one.
Where was the chain attached?
Well, it was attached on the loom, see, where the that managed the shuttle boxes, see? Mm-hmm. and that would go around with the, every time the shuttle went across, see, that chain would move. And when it got to the end of that pattern, well, then the next shuttle box had come up with a different color and make another pattern.
So the chain was moving often.
Yeah.
Very often.
It was going right along with the shuttles, you know. Every time the shuttle went across that, it moved one. There were little rollers like that in the chain. They weren't great big ones. They were little rollers like that. And of course, each one of them directed a shuttle.
There was one chain, and that would work four shuttles.
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. As many as they wanted, see. Mm-hmm. They had the pattern right in there. A man would make them chains, see.
Was it a metal chain?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And them little iron things was put on, see. And they had a man that would fill up those chains the way they wanted them for to go on the loom. And if they wanted a different chain, well, they'd take it off and put on another one.
How were the chains different from each other? In length or in what?
Yeah, the length, yeah. Depended if they had a big pattern to make, it would be a long chain. And if it was a small one, it'd be a shorter chain.
Mm-hmm. When you worked for the Lawrences, what did you have to do? What were your jobs?
Oh, well, I went in there on Berlin.
I mean, the Lawrences.
Yeah, I went in there on Berlin. And after a while, I went on to a loom, learned to weave. Just one loom. And that was run, you know, with changing your shuttles. Filling the shuttles yourself by hand.
That was at Webster's Mill down here.
That was down here, yeah.
What did you do when you went to work at Lawrence's house, you know, Judge Lawrence's house?
Well, I did the housework, mm-hmm. you know, like, well, she had a cleaning woman come in, Mrs. Lamicky. She used to come in and do the washing and do the cleaning. But I would do the dusting and I would do the cooking and washing dishes and, you know, setting the table for the meals and things like that. And whatever they wanted cooked, I would cook it. She was awful good to me because I never worked anywhere before, only what I'd done to home. I was always in the mill. But she was awful good to me, and I was there 2 years.
Did they always eat from a tablecloth?
Well, her and I, the men, if the judge didn't come home at noon, her and I would eat in the kitchen on a little table. But when the judge was home, and the boy, of course, he was away at college part of the time while I was there, and we would set the table in the dining room. But I wouldn't go in there and eat with them. I would eat in the kitchen. I always come home. I stayed to home. I had a room there, though, if I wanted to stay. And she had a schoolgirl there. And she lives now out to Bangor. She's a married woman. They go to that church up on... Pleasant Street, you know that church up there?
The Wesleyan Methodist.
Yeah. They go there, and her family has been great in it. One of them went over to be a minister somewhere preaching.
Seaman? Seaman?
No. No, that ain't the name. Funny, I can't think of her name. She was awful nice, too.
Did she do any housework?
Well, she went to school, and she had a room there, and if there was something they wanted her to do, she would do it when she was home from school.
Would she help you when she was home from school?
Well, not too much. No. She would wait on Mrs. Lawrence more than anything, you know.
Were there often parties or at the Lawrence's?
No, not too much. And I'll tell you another thing you never saw in the refrigerator was any kind of booze. Never, never in that house. And they were real Christian people. Yeah, she was an awful good woman. I liked her. Every time she'd go away, she'd bring me home something. One time she brought me a nice suit. And I would go back and forth there while she was gone. One time my cousin and I went down there and papered a room. And I got my pay just the same, you know, while they were gone. Of course, them days we got $7 a week, but I'd have Wednesday afternoon off and Sunday, part the time on Sunday.
Well, and would you have to be there Sunday morning?
Well, for dinner.
Mm-hmm. What would they have for Sunday dinner?
Well, it would be a good dinner, you know, like roast meat and vegetables and some kind of pie or sherbet or ice cream, or maybe cake. You know, I learned to make an angel food cake there, sponge cake. And she sent me over to teach one of the neighbor women to make it. The woman liked that cake, but she couldn't understand how to make it. Mrs. Lawrence sent me over to help her with it. We learned it good to her place, you know, between Miss Lawrence and me. And they'd have that a lot. Florence said the other day when we got our new stove, she said, we got to try making that cake. Mm-hmm.
What kind of vegetables did they like best?
Well, for breakfast, she'd have grapefruit. And she always had some kind of a good vegetable at noon. And they used to use a lot of salads, you know, like lettuce and other stuff cut up and, you know, a good vegetable salad. She was great for that. And she always knew what kind was good for them to eat. And
did they have a garden?
No, they didn't. They had flowers and flowers. I guess she still got them out in the back down there where they live now. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But
how did you notice the food they ate was different from the food you ate at home?
Well, it was good, and we used to have meat twice a day, and if they wanted meat for supper, it would be some cold meat or, you know, sliced or something like that, and they had all kinds of meat, lamb and chicken and, you know, everything that was good. And, of course, whatever we could have at home, well, after Jimmy started his plumbing shop, of course, you know, he had his trade and he got more money and, well, we begun to get different things. You know.
Mm-hmm. Was the biggest meal at the Lawrence's at night or at noon?
They most always had it at noon. I mean at night, because a lot of times, you know, they couldn't come home. And if they did, it would be a lunch. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did you have to wear a uniform of any sort?
I did at noon when I waited on the table. Yeah.
What'd you wear?
She furnished them for me. I'd have a white one. I'd have a blue one. Mm-hmm.
Did they use cloth napkins?
Yeah, at that time they did. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I didn't stay. I used to come home. We lived here then, and I used to come home. Sometimes it was an awful stormy walk to get from here down there, but I'd go.
What kind of glasses did they have for water? Were they flat, straight glasses,
yeah,
or were they goblets?
Yeah, well, she had both kinds. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she had both kinds.
Did they use ice cubes to cool their water?
Yes. Oh, yeah, she always had them. Mm-hmm.
How were they made in those days?
Well, they had, you know, a tray. Uh-huh. You know, it went right into the refrigerator. Of course, they had a nice refrigerator. And she had the ice cubes all the time, no matter what they wanted them for, iced tea or anything, they had them.
Mm-hmm. Did she have many parties?
No, not to her home. She might have some women come in at night from the church or something like that, but I wouldn't be there. And if they had any dishes, they were left in the kitchen, and I'd do them in the morning. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What kind of dishes did they have?
Oh, they had nice chinaware, all kinds of nice dishes. Yeah. Yeah.
They always ate in the dining room, except when she was there alone.
Yeah, yeah. The table was always set up for a meal.
Did you set the table for breakfast any differently than you did for the other meal?
No, they had just what they wanted, you know. They'd put their things on and take them in and set them on the table. Grapefruit or donuts or cookies or whatever they wanted, you know, rolls or toast. And that was made in the kitchen, went into the table.
Did they ever eat breakfast in the kitchen?
Not when I was there, no.
Did they
just him and her, you know, mostly.
Did they have a tablecloth for breakfast?
Oh, yeah, we always had tablecloth in the dining room. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, the table in the kitchen had a spread on it, too. Yeah.
Were the napkins from one meal used for the next?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They wouldn't have them dirty, you know. And, of course, if they were must or something, well, we'd throw them in the washing and then put on another one. Yeah, sometimes they wouldn't use them, I suppose, only just to probably rub the napkin on their face or something. But if they were dirty or marked in any way or must up, we'd throw them in the washing and get another one. Yeah.
Did they have quite a lot of linen?
Oh, yeah, she had everything. Yeah, yeah, lots of it. I used to do the ironing, but the washwoman did the washing, Mrs. Lamington.
What did Mrs. Lawrence do with her time?
Well, she was a busy woman with different things, you know, talking on the telephone to her old church groups and everything, you know, that she was interested in.
And you worked for her after you worked for Mrs. Mayer?
Well, yeah. It was early when I used to go to Mrs. Mayer there, you know, or Mrs. Simons. Mm-hmm. And Mrs. Simons was our Sunday school teacher, you know,
at
the church. She was an awful religious woman, too. And, of course, she had their own house there up on the hill, that first house going up the hill.
How was their way of life different from the Lawrence's?
Well, they weren't so entertaining, you know, because Mrs. Simons was older. And that Mr. Mayer there, Mrs. Mayer's husband at one time, had that candy... Mayer's candy factory there?
Kirk Mayer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And of course he died, and then her and Mrs. Simons was together. And I used to go there and get some things ready for their meals and wash their dishes and do things like that, but I wouldn't have to stay all the time. I'd go back and forth from home and do it, you know, during the summer. In the winter they always went to Florida.
What did they eat that was different from the Lawrence's?
Well, of course, they had a different way. There was no man there. And it would be toast and something like that for breakfast and some kind of cereal. And then at lunch, well, they'd have maybe a sandwich or something like that. And at dinner time, when they had their dinner, it would be potatoes and vegetables and meat. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How'd they like their food cooked?
Well, they liked it well done. And, of course, Mrs. Simons would oversee it, you know, the way she wanted. Of course, they were old ladies, and she'd have it the way she needed it for her health. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But they were awful good. They were real religious people, too, Mrs. Simons and Mrs. Mayer. Yeah.
How did the Lawrences like their food cooked?
Well, she had it cooked well, yeah. And she was... she'd tell how she wanted it done, and she learned me a lot, you know. Of course, the first Sunday I was there, Dr. Perkins was there for dinner. And I said to Mrs. Lawrence, you know, I never waited on table before, only to home. And then they sat down and eat. So she told me what to do and how to wait on them and everything, and I did. So I got used to that.
You had to pass the food on the left hand?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And put the tea on the right side. And their knife and fork, the fork would go on the left side, and the knife and the spoon on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, of course, I knew that, but I always done what she told me.
How long would Sunday dinner last?
Oh, about an hour. Then I could come home. I didn't have to go back.
Did you have to do the dishes after
she always let me go to church, though? Oh, yes, I did the dishes, you know, before I come home. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And in the afternoon, she'd say, you change your dress now and don't work no more. She was awful good.
Was Miss Simons and Mrs. Mayer as good to you as she was?
Yeah. Well, they were real religious, you know, and they were good. Yeah, yeah.
How did they spend their time?
Well... talking and visiting with people, and they'd have callers come in, and, you know, of course they lived right there on Jane Street, where they used to be that people did go, where they don't now.
Did people visit more when you were a girl?
No. I just had the fish girls there that we chummed with, and they'd come over to our house, and I'd go to their house. But to run around the neighbors, I never did, no. I had work to do at home when I wasn't in the mill, and I did that.
Did you miss not working when you quit Ballard's?
Yes, I did for a while, but of course Florence's mother wasn't well, you know. And I had plenty of work to do here at home. And kind of take care of her. She got where she was, what they call it, senile. And she couldn't remember, and of course that was kind of bad. She'd go out and Florence would tell her not to go. You know, she was afraid she'd get in the road and get hit with a car or something.
Was your health as good after you left Ballard's as when you were working at Ballard's?
Oh yeah, I was pretty good all the time.
Were there ever some mornings that were so bad you couldn't get to Ballard's to work?
I went. And sometimes the snow was deep and I'd climb through it. But later years though, they used to run the snowplow through the road. And I'd walk in the road. Yeah.
What did the Lawrences do in the winter? Were they any different from summer? Did they go out in the winter?
Yeah.
Often?
Yeah. They had their, of course, the men, you know, used to have to go to the courthouse. Mr. Lawrence went every day.
Did the other two ladies ever go out, this Mrs. Simons and Mrs. Mayer?
Well, they would go, you know, if somebody come took them. Of course, neither one of them drove cars, but they would go that way, and they were always to church.
Yeah. Did Mrs. Lawrence drive a car?
No. Oh, yes, Mrs. Lawrence does.